July 6, 2020, it's a Watt for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Happy Monday. Brother Matt, we're still in quarantino mode. So Brother Matt, at Love Grotto, about 3 miles south of here. But I am not man alone due to those geniuses in Estonia with their Skype software. I got Stanley and Peter from the Mendoza line aboard. Hi.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Hi, Mike.
Well, I'm glad to have you aboard. I should tell people what we heard of John Coltrane doing. This is when he was with 9 months with Thelonious Monk, really, my dear. And then the Mendoza line, waiting in the wings. Mario Mendoza?
Yeah.
Right. Not too good of a batting average, right?
No, he was pretty bad. But, you know, at least sometimes when you can be remembered for decades past your prime for being not very good. But, yeah, he was a bad baseball player. He, you know, I think that he was actually got that moniker because he hit 198 one year and actually had about 500 plate appearances. So he was a pretty bad baseball player for sure. But, you know, we love him.
Well, I mean, to get into the pros, you can't be too lame.
I don't
love him particularly because I don't know anything about baseball, but I didn't name the band, so it's fine. I've learned a little bit.
There's a great you guys are calling from Brooklyn?
Yeah, we're both in Brooklyn, yep.
Yeah, but you don't see each other.
We haven't seen each other in 12 years.
Okay.
Nuts,
there's a lady who plays guitar in Brooklyn. She's from Orange County here, but her name's Ava Mendoza. She's like kind of Nels Klein type. She's been on.
Oh, I love me some Nels Klein. All right.
Yeah, she's kind of that school of what do you call that? Skronk?
I don't know.
that's what I heard. Nels, I heard Nels say that once. Well, who wants to go first? I want to go through your musical journey.
Men first, always.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, right, Peter, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Oh, my gosh.
Questions. Oh, okay. I'm going to shut up. Sorry.
I mean, my earliest musical, I mean, probably being in synagogue.
You know, let me tell you this, Peter.
Yeah.
There's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
I mean, I don't know. My dad is really religious, so we used to go to a lot of synagogue when I was a kid. So, I mean,
Tanner,
that's probably...
singers, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of... I mean, actually, I'm not religious now, but, I mean, I do remember just going to a lot of synagogue. And I was in a conservative temple, which is pretty rare in... you know, suburban Washington, D.C. So we had to drive like 30, 40 minutes away from our house all the time to go to synagogue. And like, although I'm not religious, I do appreciate like how the songs are kind of put together. The prayers, they're really sad in a lot of them. And also the other thing is like, I don't know what the words are. So you're kind of just it's in Hebrew and Hebrew is a phonetic language. So when you're going to Hebrew school, you learn how to put the words together, but that doesn't mean that they're like sitting there and translating the actual, you know, text for you. You're just kind of like saying the words. So we would go to synagogue and I can memorize the prayers or whatever, but I don't know what the actual like exact word for word of what I was saying. But so you kind of like focus in a little bit on like the melody of everything, I would say. When you're doing that, because it's...
No, I can kind of relate, because when I was little, the Catholic stuff was in Latin.
Yeah.
I could hear this conspiri tutu, you know, these kind of patterns and lyrics, I guess.
So it's, you're basically saying a bunch of gibberish. It's an incredibly sad melody.
Was there any instruments in the pad that you grew up in?
No. I mean, well, my mom had a really old you know, classical guitar that she had. My mother's from Sweden, and she, that was like the instrument that she had when she was, I guess, in high school, which, or whatever the equivalent of high school was. So she had that in the house, but I never really played it until I met Tim, who was like the person, the other Mendoza Line songwriter. And I remember we would play that guitar when we were like 15 or 16 years old. And it was, you know, a 40-year-old instrument at that point, and, or maybe even 50-year-old instrument. And I remember within like a couple weeks of us playing Run, Run, Run by the Velvet Underground over and over again, like Tim somehow like hit it so hard that like the back of this 50-year-old, you know, guitar basically fell off the back of it. I mean, like, but like, I didn't have like a real instrument really until, I mean, I got a you know, kind of a crappy Washburn acoustic guitar that I got probably when I was 17 or 18 years old. And I literally, every song I've ever written has been written on that guitar. And I, you know, I still play it every single day.
What about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band or shit like that?
No, I mean, I did violin for like a year and a half, and I really hated it. I hated it so much but not because I didn't like not playing it. It was the fact that the rehearsals were during recess.
Oh, yeah.
I just hated missing recess because, I mean, I was kind of athletic. I mean, sort of, I guess. So I wanted to, like, go play football or, you know, play catch or whatever during recess. And, like, one day I was just, like, you know, sitting there in the violin class, probably, I think it was sixth grade in recess. And I was just like, I put the violin down. I just like walked out and I just said, I'm going to go to recess. I just like, I didn't want to play it. And there was also this kid.
I understand. What was the first record you bought yourself?
Oh my God. I bought Electric Avenue by Eddie Grant.
No, you didn't. That's yep. What I bought. The 45.
No, I bought like a cassette. That was okay. My first one. Yeah.
Well, this is weird because that was my first.
And what was Shannon? You're next, all right? Let's do Peter first.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna put myself on mute.
You're Bogart on Peter. Peter, what was the first gig you went and saw?
First concert I saw was The Who at RFK Stadium. I mean, I did see Liberace with my parents at Radio City Music Hall when I was like 9. But the first show that I saw myself that I actually, like, paid money for was The Who at RFK. And, you know, we waited up and my parents actually let me, or my mom, I don't think my dad knows, but my mom let me, like, cut school so we could, like, go and buy tickets. And we, like, you know, we waited. It was at the Commander Salamander in Georgetown, which is kind of, like, a legendary, like, punk place in the D.C. scene. Like, and we... you could go the day before and you could buy a voucher. You could wait in line for a voucher. So we got up at like 5 a.m, drove down to Georgetown, waited in line. We had like, it was 6 or 7 of us, and we had like spot 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it was, in the line to get the voucher. And then the next day, which was a Saturday, you could go back and get your tickets. And so, but we were like obsessed with The Who, but we were also, we're obsessed with beer. So we basically sold a couple of our spots in the line for like older folks going and buying us a couple cases of beer.
All right. I want to play some Mendoza Line here, the bigger shit. Right.
Cause our romance time, we by the wind.
Take your thunder, put you under, leave your feet. the fear. And meet your maker. The man is here. The Undertaker. Disappear. And meet your maker. Fight the greatest in the town. Pins them down and take their crown. Fight the greatest in the town.
Time.
creatures in the sand. When the ocean waves wash them away, these moments are as fleeting as pictures in the sand. When the ocean waves wash them away, and I've got everywhere and nowhere to go. Got everywhere and nowhere to go. Got everyone and no one to see. 'Cause everyone and no one ever sees me. Oh no, no.
No!
Wofford Pedro show. Yeah, that was Mendoza Line doing Bigger City. After that, brand new from CPI, Walking and Falling. Kay Salita, that's Kay from Black Flag, with those You Will Feel My Pain. Pat Ruthenspear, yeah, you know, this was his first solo record in the late 80s. It's really good. And Kay's bro, Paul, helped out. A Gentle Axe. I think Paul wrote this for Pat. Leavell after that, brand new, The Thundertaker, South London. Chico Arauz out of Barcelona with Turismo Dental. Maya from the city, Land's End. We got part Pedro called Land's End. It's where, well, the land ends. So we got a that's why when people come to my pad and hey, I was just passing that. You can't pass through Pedro. It's at the end of the fucking. Anyway. So I call bullshit. And we had Model Home with Living in a Treehouse, Around I out of Shanghai, 5,000 Years, something I produced last year. It came Casa Hazo here in Pedro. And then finally, the Mendoza Line, In Your Hands. And now, Shannon, your turn.
Yeah.
So, Peter.
Yeah, thank you,
put
Mike.
Put a plug in the jug.
I'm sorry for having interrupted so many times. I just
well,
get
you're interrupting
excited
me right
usually.
Now, okay? What
okay.
was your earliest musical recollection? Remember, there's no wrong answer.
No, no. Well, I think probably listening to Crystal Gayle with my father, like Crystal Gayle LPs, and he would sing Don't You Make My Brown Eyes Blue. That was an early memory. But another was we had just moved from New York to Southwest Georgia. There's a long story behind that. But and we had a pool built because everyone has a pool in Southwest Georgia. And we had we called it a What a Night, where we listened to Live at Central Park with Simon and Garfunkel. And it was raining. There were frogs in the pool. And I think there was skinny dipping, but not in a weird way. I think we were just young enough to still be able to skinny dip with our parents, although I'm quite sure my father was not involved.
Was there instruments in the pad you grew up?
We always had a piano. No one knew how to play piano but my mother, so she'd entertain us. I think I took piano lessons for a year and hated it.
That's an experience that a lot of guests on my show have had. It depends a lot on the teacher.
Yes. Yeah. Well, my mother was not my teacher. I think she, I had a teacher for a little while. His name was Mr. Morton. And he had he was an older gentleman, and I remember just focusing on the long hairs coming out of the top of his nose, not the nostrils, the top of his nose.
Were they tufts?
They weren't tufts, but I was.
That's a hard word to say. Tufts.
They are tufts. It's hard because you got to get
that T.
Right. You got to get that T in
well,
there.
What about you in
tough.
School? Were you in the choir, or the marching band, or shit like that?
No, none of that. No.
No? Did your school have it? You know, some schools get rid of that. Okay.
I'm always curious
about that. It's one reason why Flea started his Silver Lake Music Conservatory. He went back to Fairfax High where he learned trumpet, and they had gotten rid of the music program.
Yeah.
Wow, we had bands,
now, the first
but
record,
I was not in.
The first record you bought was the same one that Peter bought?
But I bought, it was either that because I was really into 45, so I remember having the Electric Avenue 45. It was one of my first. But another memory I have is having the LP of Olivia Newton-John, whichever one it is that has Don't Cry for Me Argentina, and I think she's wearing like a floral crown.
Evita.
Well, no, but that wasn't the name of the Olivia Newton-John record.
No,
you
but
see.
I think
she just did.
Avita Perón, right?
It's exactly.
A musical about her life.
Yes.
What was the first gig you went to?
Stevie Wonder. I was probably 1984 or 85 at the Albany, Georgia Civic Center. Amazing.
Okay. You want to know what my first gig was?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
T-Rex.
Me
and
D-Boom
cool.
or 14 Long Beach Auditorium.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was. You know, I didn't like a lot of those big shows, you know, but especially when I found out about clubs. But
yeah.
I can, you know, it was much different than the records. He would play the first couple minutes of the tune, and then he'd get on his knees and do like 10 minutes of lead guitar. Yeah, it was a lot different than the albums. But he's quite a character. He's first rock and roll hero. See, they didn't have merchandise. This is 1973, 74.
Yeah.
And so there's bootleg guys a couple blocks from the venue, and they Xeroxed one of the record covers. So that's the first poster I had on my bulkhead. It was fucking, they cut Mickey Finn out, so it was just Marple. But that's the first guy I had on my bulkhead right there.
That's cool.
And, you know, I thought if I asked you guys that stuff, maybe I should tell you.
Yes, yeah. Thank
so
you.
So how did you meet each other?
Sorry. Are you talking Pete? Sorry. Go, Pete.
No, I wasn't going to say anything. You go, Shannon.
Oh, I was just going to say, Mike, you know, a concert that Pete and I remember is playing with you, I mean, opening for you, I believe in Champaign, Illinois. What year would this have been, Pete?
1835.
Approximately 1835. And if memory serves, which it often doesn't, I think you were wearing a yellow slicker. By slicker, I mean raincoat. Is this true? Could that be true?
Yeah, maybe. I remember a fireman gave me a coat, and I almost got arrested for wearing it in Orlando. They thought I stole this off a fucking truck. You know, a San Pedro fireman gave me this. And
right.
I was fucked up. So maybe around middle 90s, I wore
This would have been early.
But I've been wearing yellow coats. Yeah, I've been wearing not fireman coats. When I started riding a bicycle again, my mother got me yellow coats. She said, Michael Watt, it'll be harder for people to run you over.
Smart,
We're at the end of the first hour. July 6, 2020, edition Watt Pedro Show. Two of the Mendoza Lines. Hold tight for hour two. July 6, 2020, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
We'll be right back. where you shouldn't be listening.
To eat as many beans as they can possibly hold.
When he said, you shall not
time before a big day. said, the world is turning the motion is quick. Brother, I saw you in the city's hand. I seen you grasp it, I understand. As I've been working out on the line, people are pushing from those not their kind. Even the preacher told me of hate, painted pictures here as of late. Last night I prayed to Jesus on high, told him to send you home, brother mine. Heart is split though I cannot fear, people asking what else is coming near, or what happened when it began. When gravity pushes, how do you stand? Even if your mind is without a mind, there's always time. Even if your mind is without a mind, there's always time. Even if your mind is without a mind, there's always time. Even if your mind is without a mind, there's always time. Even if your mind is without a mind, there's always time. I just want you to know I'm still here. We cannot.
for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Baby, I Know What You're Thinking by the Mendoza Line. Then Scott H. Burham with Long Old Time. The Magnet Hearts. Magnet Hearts. Yeah. That's John from Backbiter, his new proj. Tennis Racket Rock Guitars. Hi-Fi Club out of France with L'Air de Lansou. Sorry, pardon. My heart on bullshit. Nicholas Mayers after that without women. And then finally, Before I Hit the Wall by the Mendoza Line. So how did Peter, Shannon, how'd you guys meet?
Well, I mean, so we all lived in Athens, Georgia, for a while. I mean, Shannon was in college there. Tim, who was the other songwriter in the band, lived there. I was living in Atlanta and Athens, kind of like half and half. And we were in this little band, the Mendoza Line. We had a few records out, and I don't know exactly how the heck Shannon and Tim ended up meeting, but Shannon, I don't remember how you met.
Well, it's disputed. I remember meeting Tim, or at least seeing him for the first time in like one of those big like biology 101 classes. Mm. And I was of the proper age. I'm like 3 years younger than Tim. I should have been in a biology 101 class in like 1995. He should not have been, but he was there. And he always brought like a briefcase or something. I don't know. I was intrigued. And I think actually I think we met at Amy Dyke's house. It's Sherry and Amy Dyke's house. Actually Pete's girlfriend from very long ago. At a party. I think that's how it happened. I don't know.
Yeah, we were all kind of in a little social group, I guess, and we ended up becoming friends. And Shannon and Tim eventually got married years later. Shannon joined the band, I guess. The first song that she sang on, I don't think I sent you that one because we only were could give you 11, but Shannon sang on a song called The Big Letdown, and I don't know, Tim has like a whole story on our website about it, about how they were all friends and she decided, you know, she was at the studio and Tim's like, why don't you sing on this? And she did and did an incredible job. And then, you know, within like the next, you know, 6 months or whatever, Shannon was writing her own songs and then she was part of the band. So that was how kind of it went. And then, you know, we did a whole bunch of records together.
What was the first Mendoza Line gig?
well, we played a lot of crazy gigs, but we were not a functioning rock band for a lot of the early years.
Nor were you called the Mendoza Line at the very first. I mean, it depends on what
I'm going to ask again. What was the first Mendoza Line gig?
So the first Mendoza Line gig where we were actually called the Mendoza Line, I believe, was at the Atomic in Athens. And the band that opened for us was our friends of Montreal.
That's so crazy.
I know. And of Montreal was like, you know, I remember they had just put out like a tape or something like that, and now they've been like, you know, now they're, you know, very well known. But they opened for us. They were good. We were terrible. I mean, I do remember that we played a cover of Love and Touch and Squeezin', among the other things
that
we played.
Were you scared?
I don't think you could have been scared considering how inebriated we were. We played so bad. We were so bad. It was the worst thing. We were not like a functioning rock band probably until like 3 or 4 years later.
Yeah, but I'm always interested in the first gig. I want to play It's a Long Line, but it moves quickly.
Yeah. Thank you. Is our other guest this morning, and we're going to hear from Pete now.
One, two, three, four. Well, I've been listening to my radio for 9 or 10 years, and the music they've been playing's so doggone bad that it's offending to my ears. And these cats come over from New York City, making me think back to when. So let's put on your shoes and think about the blues and start all over again with that good time music like they played so long ago. Oh, ha. Don't you know, oh yeah, with that good time music, yeah, it's back on the radio. Oh, all right. Well, I don't want no crying violins, no honking English horns. I don't want no screaming ya-ya girls, no sexual slide trombones. I don't want no symphony orchestra with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. All I want is a guitar, a harp, and drums just to set my soul on fire with that good time music like they played so long ago. Oh, don't you know, oh yeah, with that good time music.
Jeff was just the boaters, you had your reasons, had your orders. And the mindless incrementalist. Played your game, you made the list. Painted your face, held up your fist till someone slapped you. Limp wrist, silly. Slapdash, insincere and unfulfilling. You knew the rightful heir, but you're not willing. She wore a wild to the low, two dagger heels, a tin sword. It's on the books, it's by the boards, it's up for sale, you know. We can't afford it.
Peter's show, that was It's a Long Line, but it moves quickly by the Mendoza Line. Did you guys ever record drunk?
Yes. Did we ever not?
I didn't. I don't think I ever really recorded, like, completely shit-faced, but, I mean, I think Tim did a lot, and I think Shannon did a lot. I mean, we did. I think I was a little bit more tempered in my consumption, but there were times when the recording studio sessions were mostly drinking and very little recording. But I mean, there was a few guys, there was a couple guys in the band who were very, really good at playing, the drummer Sean Fogarty and the guitar player John Trauman and Shannon's brother, Philip, who played a lot of guitar over the years with the band. Are just like crack musicians, so they kind of help keep it all together. And you know how it is. And our bass player, Paul, was really a great bass player. So if you have a rhythm section, you can pretty much, you know, fake your way through anything. So there was definitely some inebriation, but, you know, and some very, very expensive, non-productive recording sessions over the years.
Time wasted. Okay, we also heard, Wire Florets. From Dan Klukas, Jeb Bishop, Damon Smith, Matt Crane, live album they just put out. Peter Lochner from the old Cleveland scene with Good Time Music. was on some TV show, a radio show. David Gerard out of Boston with Dream Chamber, Phase 2, Theta. Paul Jacobs with Cigarettes. And finally, Fellow Travelers, the Mendoza Line. So there's, we're talking like this band got together in the middle 90s.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then it, what, lasted like 10 years?
Yeah.
And now it's coming back together?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I mean, Pete, do you know something?
So here's basically the company line on this. So we basically have a lot of records that have been out of print for a while. And some of them, actually had a lot of, people really like these records. It's not like they sold tons of copies, but we had a lot of great press over the years and, we were reviewed in all the big music rags or whatever. And we played a lot of great shows with a lot of people, but, we kind of let things go to the wayside over the last few years, even though, things were available on digital for a while, and then there were some contract issues that with some of these labels mm-hmm. that we work with. So we basically are kind of slowly getting all the records back into print. The one that we just released, re-released We're All in This Alone, on Bar None, was the record from 2000. So we basically did some remastering on it. I found three tracks on a cassette tape in a storage unit that were never released. One of the tracks that you played earlier in the show called Waiting in the Wings, I actually found the original 2-inch tape that our friend Dave Barbie from Sugar, and he's like,
I know Dave Barbie, bassman, Athens.
Yeah. He actually found the two-inch tape at his studio. I mean, Dave and I are good friends and have been friends for a long time. And I just, like, on a whim, I was like, hey, is there any chance you have any old Mendoza Line 2-inch tapes in your studio? And like 10 minutes later, he sent me a picture of the tape, and he digitized them for me and sent it to me. And then, but that one song, Waiting in the Wings, that song actually is one of the songs that was never released that Dave has been hoarding for himself for the last 20 years.
Can't copyright a song title.
Yeah.
Because there's a Waiting in the Wings by Bebop Deluxe. I don't know if you know that. I think it's on Futurama. I saw them a couple times when I was a teenager. You could tell I was into glam, but probably by my yellow coat.
Clearly, yeah.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour. July 6th, 2020, this is Watt Peters for two of the Mendoza Lions. We'll type hour three. July 6th, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
I bled on the bed from a wound in my head on the night before I sent this, wailing with dread from the things that were said in the boardroom that left me defenseless. And though you weren't there, I could still feel you stare, and your voice rang cold and contemptuous. So forgive me this morning if I should fall one in the arms of a lethal temptress. At a nightclub engagement, you sang on the stage in a voice that was broken and tuneless. Still, it's better to work than to beg like a jerk. The kind of things we all find useless. And hell hath no future. Griffith, and that what once was love can turn quickly enough into something so hard and contentious. And hell has no fury and death is no jury. I'll offend it before I commence it. But for one final sin you won't see me again in the arms of the lethal temptress. But for one final sin you won't see me again in the arms of the lethal temptress.
Now is a word that fuels people. Determined never is a word that only makes you dream. Makes you dream. I walked all over this town.
Pedro show. Start third hour off with Mendoza Line doing the Lethal Temptress. Is that one of yours, Peter?
No. Okay. I actually wasn't in the band when that was recorded.
Okay. This is one that was actually one of the few that was, because usually if one of us is singing, we wrote the song. But there are a couple
that was the Hoosker rule. The Hooskers told me if you wrote the words, you had to sing it.
Yeah, and that was our rule for the most part. This is one of maybe two or three that Tim wrote and I sang.
Yeah, what I want to tell you was, like, in those days, Double Nickels, Zen Arcade, you put out records to get people to go get to gigs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like opposite of the industry. And when we started in this movement, we decided, me and D. Boone were talking about the world. Let's divide it into two categories. There's gigs and there's flyers. And everything that ain't a fucking gig is a flyer to get people to the gig. Okay, then we heard Crane doing Planet Disco. He's up in Idaho. He's a pimp. Cosmo Scheiss out of Hamburg, The Nightmare, Lewis Cole. You will see in the Mendoza Line with Way of the Week.
Oh. Okay. Mike, you're going really heavy on Shannon McArdle songs. I hope you, look, you're, I don't want you to regret it.
Look, I was given 11 songs. I played all 11. Well, we haven't heard two of them yet. But the nine we've already heard, it's from you guys, okay? So I'm not being the taste monitor.
Yeah.
Well, Pete, you were very generous with me, I should say, then.
Well, it's hard to... We have a lot of songs over the years.
We do.
It's hard to pick, so...
We do. Yeah, no, you do.
You ever hear of a band called Comet Gang?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, they're kind of like you guys in a way. A lot of different members and over the years. And I mean, bands are interesting that way, right? They're almost like the perfect political unit, you know, in people's minds. You come together, you're all focused on the same thing, and yeah, you all fall apart and stuff like that, or something happens and the band's destroyed. But they're interesting.
Yeah.
I've always been interested in, you know, I love music, but this one kind of manifestation of music, the band, it's just interesting idea, concept. And humans organize themselves, and sometimes they're prison sentences, and sometimes they're righteous things, right?
And sometimes they're a little bit of both.
Yeah, probably.
We had hundreds of people playing this band over the years.
Yeah.
Especially.
What about Triple Bill of Shame? Who wrote that one?
Oh. Tim wrote that one.
Yeah.
Okay, let's play it for Tim.
Discreet, but the squawk and claw like parakeets.
to the nightly news and the daily press. Now that you've outlived your uselessness, do you know what doesn't happen next? They'll call you by your number, they won't call you by your name on the triple bill of shame. Your month by month, they crept up year by year. Now you're chained to the doorstop just to keep you here tonight. Your single mind from your double bed, no one falls behind, no one gets the head. She said, I do, I love this little bastard. I count the wins, one hand backwards, but you still like to know where he's coming from. The whole of his parts is less than the sum, and you paint him with tar, chew him like gum. And you will be of interest to the nightly news and the daily press. But now that you uselessness, do you know what doesn't happen next? They'll call you by your number, they won't call you by your name. Triple bill of shame.
Train. Knoxville train. Come on, more train. Come on. Oh, that might be it. Train. Strung out on pandemic dope. I'll elbow the walking signal at the corner of 4th and Luttrell. Strung out on pandemic dope. Yeah, I'll elbow the walking signal at the corner of 4th and Luttrell. Luttrell, as they pronounce it around here. No hanging out. Yeah, no hanging out. Yeah, they were riding around with a cheap-ass bottle of wine. Black cat by the overpass has got the shine. It's all true. Where it's all true, man. Shrimp and grits.
got no pants. When he takes off his stash. Yeah, shrimp and grits. Got no pants. When he takes off his stash and sticks it. Yeah, sticks it to the mirror. To be pandemic invisible. How's it feel to be pandemic invisible? How's it feel to be pandemic invisible? Yeah. Johnson skating and drumming. Ernest and Johnson skating and drumming, and away, yeah, away from his phone. Ah, far the fuck away, yeah, far the fuck away. From his fucking phone. Ernest and Johnson skating and drumming and away, far the fuck away from his phone. Uh-oh, uh-oh, this just in, something's coming in. What, pandemic, interruption, Maggie fucking Brannon, keep on painting. Keep on painting your pandemic chicken! Pandemic interruption! Maggie fucking Brannon! Keep on painting your pandemic chicken! Woo! Everyone dancing. Pandemic hearts are still glued to the pilot light ceiling. Yeah. If your pandemic laptop was any smaller, take a wild guess what it would be, sucker. If your pandemic laptop was any smaller, take a wild guess what it would be, sucker. Anyway, let's go on a pandemic date. We can watch a movie. I'm sure it will be depressing. Yeah, the pandemic date movie. Let's go on a pandemic date, honey. We can watch a movie. I'm sure it will be really fucking depressing.
depressing and filled with the stigma. The stigma. The stigma is everywhere. Man, we could probably get away with some shit now. Yeah, we could probably get away with some real fucking shit right about now. Like being strung out on pandemic dope. Being strung out on pandemic dope. Being strung out on pandemic dope. Yeah. I'm trying to practice crack, as they say in the biz, pandemic yoga. Okay? Could you cut the pandemic spotlight, please? I'm trying to practice pandemic yoga. Okay? Could you cut the pandemic spotlight, please? I'm more than capable of finding the bottle all loose and in the dark. Besides, everybody knows it's definitely not up the pandemic alley, poised to pop. Poised to pop. Poised to pay one goddamn fucking price. Underneath a jig and reel kilt. Underneath the jig and reel kilt. Underneath a jig and reel kilt. Yep. Anyway, come down when you get off work. Don't laugh, Del Dolivere. Come down when you get off work. Seal to play, don't look, Del Dolivere. I'll be here at the beat, Le PL, Le PL. I'll be here at the Le PL, the Le PL. Smothered in social D. Smothered in social D. Guarded by vintage clam shucker, fashioned from Philadelphia chisel and piece of shit four string electric Japanese guitar. Yeah, I'll be guarded by vintage clam shucker, fashioned from Philadelphia chisel and piece of shit four string electric Japanese guitar. Find me, a la pandemic, hey, sarah, sarah. Yeah, you'll know where to find me, a la pandemic, hey, sarah, sarah. Hey, sarah, sarah. Hey, sarah, sarah. Case of Ross, 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 Ross,
that way. You got trouble enough since you fucked the land. But you're breaking like eggshells from under the card of the grains of regret. So blooming in her face. Nothing to sell, and that makes you nervous, cause you won't be so lucky when they figure it out and your hand moves to slide. She scarcely notices what you call audacious. Dear, I barely count, and I won't be there when you change your mind. But if your heart should change, I guess it might be found. Glass, I'll be painting every dress. I would have taken a damn good disguise to get this one down. Now you learn very slowly, but now without purpose, you're stepping on the verse. You are always in rain, and you need some small token of your affection that lingers unwelcome. Then just away, we defer to your parents, but gladly consent it, though you will pretend it. And I will admit it, you turn a blind eye to a blank wall, and that's our life. And you won't be there when I change my mind. But if my heart should change, you might be covered up with lies and academic exercise. Oh, we take a damn good disguise to let this one down. Hey, you're killing me with protocol. She acts like she's seen it all, but I don't think she's seen this. A big shot at the mini ball. You learn to fight where you can crawl. Don't make you a you to try for an ingratitude that surprises even yourself and the things you were given. But you claim to find fire where you cling to like cancer, impeaching your health. And I do not wish this misery upon you or anyone else. But if my desire, though it is my fear, darling, that it will choose you, it is my fear, darling, that you will require it now.
Triple Bill Shane, the last music for this edition, Mendoza Line, then Opium Trail with This Could Be the Last Time, friend of Bob Teagan's, guy from Scotland. In the 60s, I mean, you'd come out with a single and another band would record it right away. It's really weird about that guy. It happened to Cap Beefheart with that Diddy Wah Diddy. House of the Rising Sun, I remember the Frigid Pink. You know, from the, well, there was Animals, actually. It's a Lead Belly song, right? Anyway. X Gold, after here's some music from Knoxville. X Gold with Not Ready, but Poor Luther's Bones with MT. A nice invigorating pandemic stroll from Old Man Fuck You. And then finally, the Mendoza Line. That's a Steve Giganti. He was in Deer Hoof for a while. Damn Good Disguise by the Mendozas.
Oh.
Okay. So I played all 11 that you guys gave me.
All right. Thanks.
Peter.
Amazing.
Gave. Now, where can people, you were talking about a website. So, Peter, you should tell the listeners.
Yeah. So, I actually spent like, when we decided to do this reissue of We're All in This Alone, I was, you know, I actually have owned the MendozaLine.com for a really long time. And then.
Don't rub it in.
No, I'm going to tell a story. And then someone emailed me like maybe 3 or 4 years ago and they said, would you like to buy the MendozaLine.com? And I was like, wait, I thought I already owned it. And apparently it had been, I had gone into arrears and somebody had purchased it. And I was like, no, I don't want to buy it. And then maybe like 6 months later, the same person emailed me again. It's like, no, I think you should buy it now. And I was like, okay. And how much is it? And it was like $100. So I like bought the URL back for like $100 from somebody in Japan.
I owe you money, Pete. Thank you. Owe you.
Yeah. So the MendozaLine.com has been totally rebuilt. It's got, you know, some history. It's got where you can, you know, go to buy your vinyl copy of the, of We're All in This Alone that we're going to be putting out soon. It's actually got a few, you know, from some of the other, out of print records, there's actually some tracks on there. There's a whole story about the band that Tim is writing in chapter form. I think he's going to do 3 or 4 different volumes of that. And the first volume is up now. And then there's also like the story of how, you know, we found the Waiting in the Wings tape and all that kind of stuff. And there's 2 other, you know, bonus tracks on there too. One that Shannon wrote, and one that Tim wrote that we also didn't release. So there's all this fun stuff up there. And our Instagram is, and all that kind of stuff is linked to there. So anybody can, and, but if anybody wants to buy or pre-order the vinyl, it's actually all on Bandcamp. You know, easy to Google, like Bandcamp MendozaLine, and that you can pre-order the vinyl that you're making. So that's where everybody can go for more information about this crazy group of lunatics that is the Mendoza.
Pete, the website is, it's not the Mendoza Line, yeah. Right? It's Mendoza Line, just
Mendoza
to be
Line.
Clear.
Yes. Yeah, okay. MendozaLine.com. Yep. Nailed it.
Spell it, please.
It's MendozaLine.com.
Okay. Good work.
Thank you.
I did
have your own site. It's like having your own fanzine. There's no filter. There's no middleman. You can stick your flyers up on those other telephone poles, no problem. But I think it's really... I try to tell everybody I have on the show, please get your own website.
It's called
Fanzine Ethic.
It's also super easy to make a website. I mean, if you actually spend, like, just a couple hours, you can make something that's functional. So it's incredible what you can do.
Yeah.
But, hey, Mike, can I tell you something that happened to me about, like, 2 or 3 months ago, completely out of the blue?
Yeah.
My friend, who is one of my childhood friends, this guy Mike Lindy, who is a big fan of yours, just completely out of the blue just texted me. He's like, have you heard Mike Watt's version of Maggot Brain?
Well,
I mean,
what I did was I took the chords and I played it to, I don't know if your intro to War Pigs.
Yeah.
I used that kind of rhythm to the, and then it's actually Jay Maskus who's doing all the heavy lifting. I mean, it's 14-minute guitar solo. So to say it's a Mike Watt, I did though. One time I got to play with Bernie up in K-Town here, Lake Theater. Bernie Worrell was doing a gig, and he had me come up there, and we did that song. And then he shut the band down. He said, "What solo?" I had to fucking play a bass solo over them chords, and I had never. Oh man, talk about shit in a pecan log. Oh man,
I'm sure
the place was packed and shit. And anyway. Tell Mike he's very kind. What about Shannon, Peter?
Yeah.
Both of you, give me some advice that you would give somebody young getting in the racket.
Oh, don't? No, I didn't mean that. I did not mean that. I don't know. I feel like Pete and I are a little too old to, I mean, we can't give any technical advice. Like, hey, what's the, I think it is, I mean, my advice would be, like, have a another career as well. And and you know, it could work out one like perfectly, or you might have to, you know, supplement your income, like big time. By supplement your income, my last royalty check was $42.37, and I didn't even think I was allowed to get anything under $100.
What about you, Pete?
But
we're almost out of time here, so.
I mean, so for me, like, okay, I would say that my biggest regret with the Mendoza line is that when we first started, like, I had another job, and I was, like, kind of concentrating on that job and trying not to lose it. So I would say, like, when you're young, go for it. Like, don't have another job. Like, spend all of your time just working on the band and do that. Do it for a couple of years, and then if it doesn't work out, then go do something else. But if you have, you know, the passion to do it, you should actually go for it. Not like we kind of did it piecemeal, and I kind of always
did that. Yeah, understood. It's been a big honor to have you guys on. Thank you so much. You know,
honor to be here.
You can always go back to your old band, you know, and put out the record. It's just great that you guys put in that thing and you're reviving the sounds and stuff. People, it's been, thanks for coming on the show. July 6, 2020, this is what Peter Show. Keep your powder dry.